All right, let's go ahead and get started this morning on our lesson. We're going to be in the book of Colossians in chapter 1 to begin with. I welcome each of you. We are glad that the Lord has worked out all these busy details in your lives as well as ours to be here this morning and to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to learn of Him, to more fully understand our relationship with Him. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's go to the Lord. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, again we come before You in Jesus' name. We thank You for this time You've given us, Lord, to be together and to worship You in spirit and in this Your precious truth. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings, our doubts. Lord, we pray that You would be with each one this morning who has come out to hear Your word. We thank You for it. Lord, we ask that You would empty our minds and hearts of the things that go on around us in this world and this daily life. Father, help us to concentrate, to meditate on Your word, which itself, Lord, is You, the bread of life. Help us, Lord, to feed upon You. Help us, Lord, to depend upon You. We ask that You would be with each one who's unable to attend this morning. You know every case. We ask, Lord, that You would touch and heal, comfort and direct according to Your will. Be with each one across this world this morning who stands up to proclaim Your gospel. We ask, Father, that Your word, even as You have promised, would not return unto You void, but that it would accomplish Your purpose in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have talked some in the past lesson or two about true prayer, what true prayer is. And true prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart and soul to God. We're able to do this through Christ and in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. For what God has promised according to His word for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God. This is a statement that we were looking at in one of our past lessons, and we're just going to briefly go over it and continue on from it. This was a statement made in the 1680s, made by John Bunyan. that prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart and soul to God through Christ and the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised, or according to His Word, for the good of the church with submission and faith to the will of God. That's what we are praying for, the things that God has promised and the things that are according to His Word in His will. Those are the things that we're praying for. When we pray for each other, we pray for certain things, certain situations, certain items that interest the person we're praying for or that pertain to their needs. But as we do that, we also pray according to the will of God. Allow this healing, Lord, if it's your will. It may not be, but we still have the responsibility, the duty to pray for each other, and we have the responsibility to pray according to God's will. Who knows what's right for us tomorrow? He does. Amen. He does. Who knows what we really need and what would actually hinder us if we had what we thought we needed? He does, see? So as we pray to Him in this faith, this trusting, this belief that He knows best. He always does. We looked at these seven things. The first one was John Bunyan said that prayer is sincere. It's sincere. It's something that comes from the heart. It's different than a grocery list. It's not the same. It's very, very sincere. As we come to the Lord in prayer through Jesus Christ, we are consecrating, we are developing, using, putting into practice our relationship with our Savior. It's a connection, and we've talked about this quite a bit. It's a connection between us and God. A connection that you and I were not able to make. So there, grace comes in from the very beginning, doesn't it? And grace is unmerited favor. So knowing that we were sinners, bound for hell rightfully, in God's economy, that puts us in a humble position, doesn't it? And so when we come to God, we realize we're coming to a holy, righteous Creator, who has created all things, including us. We realize that we are sinners saved only by that unmerited favor, only by grace. And so it's from this position of humility that we approach our God, realizing that He is God and we are His creation. And so just going by that, the fact that He's our Creator, we have a responsibility to humble ourselves before Him, don't we? Certainly we do. He created us just like He wanted us. He is in control of our destination. So it's sincere. It's a sincere pouring out of the soul to God. And then we said that it was a sensible pouring out of the soul to God. In other words, we feel it. We feel it when we feel this connection when we are praying in the Spirit to our God. We know it's real, don't we? How do I know that He lives? Because He lives within me, see? I know that He's my God because He lives within me and He draws me to Himself. And away from all these other things. I feel the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, in my heart and in my soul. That's how I know He's real. He lives within my heart. And that's a beautiful song. And then we saw that it is an affectionate pouring out of our soul to God. Affectionate. you had something that was really on your mind and really you were really concerned about or worried about when you were a small child, where did you go with that? You would go to an authority figure, wouldn't you? You would go to your father or your mother. You would go to your parents. And I'll tell you, little kids can be more sincere. Even though it may be something that makes no sense, the way they understand it, it makes sense. And the sincerity sometimes is overwhelming of a little child. They're sincere about it. They are affectionate about it because they know as their parent, you hold the strings. You have control. You have shown that child love since their birth and before. And that child has learned love from you. It's an affectionate approaching of our Heavenly Father. Lovingly. We know how much He loves us. All we have to do is think about what He's done for us. And how long He's been doing it. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, let me tell you how sovereign God is. The day that you were saved, that's not when it got written in there. And that's being taught all over the place. Another name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me tell you, it's always been written in there. He's always known you. He's always known that He was going to draw you to Himself, that you were His. Even though you weren't born yet, He's always known you. And if you're saved today, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and always has been. All of the saints who have not yet been quickened by the Holy Spirit, their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a sovereign God in control of all things. Our Heavenly Father. And then we looked at our access to God. How do we have access to Him? It is through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by the strength and the assistance of the Spirit of God. That's how we have access to God the Father. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit knows what? The will of God. He knows the will of God, see? When we pray, the Holy Spirit makes intercession. He takes the prayer from here, from out of our heart, our minds, to God. He knows what we should pray for, doesn't He? We're told that we don't even know what we should pray for. In our natural state, we're in such bad condition, we don't even know what to pray for. There again, we don't know what we really need. We think we do. We know what we need inside God's Word. Obedience to Him, we know we need that. We know we need Him. That we know for sure. But it's through Christ that we have this connection. It's been displayed for us all the way from the Garden of Eden. All the way from there. Adam and Eve walked with God. They had a sinless nature. That's a no-brainer there. They walked with God. And no sin stands in the presence of God, that's for sure. But then they disobeyed. They sinned. The curse came upon the earth and upon mankind because of it. Suddenly they knew that they were naked in the garden. The fruit from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, they partook of it. That was a sin, the act of partaking of the fruit. Eve and Adam both sinned when they ate of that fruit. And immediately they realized that they were sinners. Immediately they realized that walking in the presence of God now was not the same. And they didn't want God to see their sin. So they attempted to cover it up. And they did so by taking leaves, fig leaves, and they made aprons to cover their nakedness. Because that's the part that they noticed. Oh, we're naked, and we're going to be naked before God. That's not going to work. God doesn't look upon sin. So we'll cover ourselves up. And it didn't work. It did not cover their sins. Why? Because it's something they did. It's something they thought of and they came up with. And something they used out of nature. To try to do what? Gain back their walk with God. That's what they lost. And I think they knew it. That's why they tried to cover up their nakedness. But there was no access to God through those fig leaves, see? Because it didn't truly cover their transgression. Oh, but then God, see? The answer always comes from God. The connection always comes from God. Because no works of our hands can ever make a connection with God. Remember the story of Cain and Abel. So in the Garden of Eden, the Lord took a sacrificial animal, something that was living, and he slew that animal. He killed that animal. That's the first record of death that we have, physical death. Adam and Eve died spiritually. They were separated from God. But this animal, this living creature that God had created, gave his life so that God could take these skins and make coats and cover Adam and Eve with them. Now, Adam and Eve had access to God again. Did they walk with him in the garden? No, they were spiritually separated from him because of the fall. That was a promise. And there again, we pray according to the promises of God, don't we? Yes, we want to be with him in this new earth and new heaven. We want to worship him from this new body that he's bringing us. But that coat of skin, it showed bloodshed for the covering of transgression. The first time. It was all through the Old Testament. All those bulls and goats and doves, they lost their lives. They gave up their lives, and they too were pointing to the Son of God who would give his life for you and for me. You see, they saw access to God the same way that we're able to see it. Through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. No other way. That's it. He is it. He is the only access. Now, he said that prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ, by the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. God the Father gifted us to God the Son. Again, before the world began. We weren't there, but we were involved in it. Well, how were we involved in that covenant? Because we, my brother and my sister, are the gift that God the Father gifted the Son with. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, covenanted, agreed, promised, and he's God, remember? He promised to come to this earth and to live out a perfect life so that that life, which would qualify and did, to pay the price for the sins of Adam and Eve and everyone born after them, born under the curse because of their sin, he promised to come to earn that righteousness, live that life without one sin, which again qualified him to be the propitiation, the sacrifice the go-between, the daysman for you and for me. And in like manner, the Holy Spirit of God entered into a covenant, a deal, a promise, to come to those whom Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for, and to make them alive, to quicken them. And that's exactly what he does. He comes to us and he gives us the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He enlightens us so that we can see. We were in darkness. We couldn't see it. We couldn't see him. Why? Because we were blinded in this separation from God. Blinded by the darkness of this world. And the darkness of our hearts that were enmity against God. But the Holy Spirit's God, isn't he? He's a powerful God, isn't he? Yes. So his promises always are fulfilled. Never fails. He comes and he quickens our heart, the Bible proclaims. He quickens us. The word quicken actually means made alive. Just like the Lord did when he called Nazareth out of the tomb. Lazarus, I said Nazareth. When he called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, he was dead, and even his sister said he stunk. He's not going to get up and come out of that tomb. There's no life in him. That's why she was so heavy-hearted. That's why she was so sad. Even the Lord wept there. It was a sad occasion. These two ladies had lost their brother. There was no life in him. They knew that he was unable to come back to life. He was gone. His body was decaying. Oh, but when the words of God himself are spoken, things happen. Amen. Things happen, you see. Things happen with power and authority. Because he has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. He quickened Lazarus. And Lazarus did what? He obeyed him, didn't he? Yes. He gave Lazarus life. He gave Lazarus hearing ears. And when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he heard him. Before the Lord quickened him and gave him life, he did not hear. Oh, but when he was given that life, he heard, didn't he? He did. Because that life was given to him in strength by the Holy Spirit of God. When we pray, we must pray according to God's word. And according to his will, which is illustrated and found right here in God's word. It's important. There are a lot of prayers that go somewhere every day from people all over the world. But the prayer that is heard by God is the prayer that's prayed in the Spirit. That means you have to be born again. I'm not saying that he doesn't hear sinners. That is quoted in the Bible, which you have to look at who said that. And it certainly wasn't the Lord. But he hears quickened sinners. He hears saved sinners. Did Lazarus hear him before he was quickened and made alive? Certainly not. But he heard him afterwards, didn't he? He did. So we must pray in accordance with God's will and his word. It's so important. God will always honor his word. Always. All right. When Paul was praying with his folks in Colossae, he says he's praying to the saints, verse 2, Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. He's praying to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Praying always for you. He loved them, and he prayed for them because he loved them. And he loved them with this godly love that he himself had been shown. What was his basis for loving them to the point that he poured out his heart and soul to God for them? What was the basis? Verse 3, I read, we give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since when? Since when, Paul, have you been praying for us at Colossae? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The love of the brethren, you see. He knew that they had faith, that they believed in Jesus Christ as the saving of their soul. He had heard this. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love. What love? The love that comes along with that faith. When the Lord quickens us, he puts his spirit within us. All of a sudden, we love him, don't we? Yes, where we didn't love him before. We believe in him like we didn't believe in him before. And this love that he's shown us, that we see, why would he do this for me? Why would Jesus Christ come to this earth and live a sinless life in a sinful world and go through all that he went through for somebody like me? Why? It really is not logical in our mindset, is it? No. But you see, it brings us back to the driver of all that God does for us. And that is love. He loved us. That's why. That's why he lived his life and gave it up for us. Because he loved us. Paul is basing his reason for praying for this group of people because he's heard that they have faith in Jesus Christ. He's heard that they've been made alive and they love the Lord and those that belong to the Lord. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Another promise of God. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That's a solid hope, isn't it? It is, because it's a promise of God. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, you know. Well, what's the alternative? But have everlasting life. That promise. He heard of their faith, which is come unto you, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Sounds like they got saved, don't they? That's exactly right. Since the day ye heard of it, they heard of Jesus Christ. They heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember why Paul later said, I think it was later, in the book of Hebrews anyway, that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. Well, they heard of that powerful message. They heard that powerful gospel. And Paul knew that they heard it. And he knew that the effect of that powerful gospel, that it had had its effect on these people. He knew that. Since the day ye heard of it, verse 6, and knew the grace of God in truth. What did they know? What is the grace of God in truth? It is unmerited favor to have the rock of Jesus Christ to stand on for the promise of eternal life and an eternal relationship with Him. And along with it comes this love that He's talking about. You heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Your love in the Spirit. They were showing fruits of being born again, weren't they? That's exactly what it was. And they were born spiritually by the power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this cause, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, I hope we're praying for each other to this end. I hope we're praying for all of God's people that we know of and that we don't know of that are out there, that God would grant this spiritual strength, that they would know the will of God and increasing in the knowledge of God, that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And why do we need that? Verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's the deal, isn't it? We love Him and we want to walk according to what He wants us to do, the way He wants us to walk, don't we? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, verse 11 says, strengthened with all might. How are we strengthened with all might? By the Holy Spirit of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I have trouble with that patience part. Especially when I don't think things go the way I intended them to. It's hard. My wife's agreeing with me. I have a hard time with that patience thing. I do. So how am I going to be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, under all patience and long suffering with joyfulness? By praying to God and asking Him for that strength. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's been given to us. That's unmerited favor. We have been made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, not in darkness. We've been transformed into the light by the power of God. He is the faithful God. The power of God to His people. It lies in this connection, doesn't it? Oh, and I hope it's a daily and a day-long connection that we continue to pray to Him. He has set up all the connection points, hasn't He? He has. He's done it all for us. Oh, that we would turn to Him and just stand in His righteousness, depending on Him, realizing that we don't have our own to depend on. No, if I do any good thing, it's Him doing it in me, isn't it? It is. Praise God. What a Savior we have, who has bought and paid for this wonderful salvation that He has wrought in us by His very own power and might.